I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, and Colin Jeffrey now, for a moment, sheds his news director skin and turns into his alter ego, Showbiz Boy, to talk movies and showbiz. Hi, Colin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine.
That's good.
Before you get into your review, and I also have one this week, I have to tell you my favorite movie quote of the week.
Okay.
Comic-Con is going on in San Diego. I don't know why it's not getting any publicity or any attention. That's for just for anybody who doesn't have Twitter. It's crushing Twitter. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Star of the Hunger Games movies and so many more. But she's there promoting, Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2.
That sounds right.
Which is coming out later this year. Somebody there said, What do you and Katniss, your character in Hunger Games, what do you have in common? Here's her quote. Nothing about us is similar because she's brave and I'm an actress. I thought, that's perfect. That's great honesty instead of giving one of those BS answers. Well, at the core, we're both brave women. No, that's a character and I'm an actress. Next question.
Good.
It's perfect.
That's good.
All right, what are you reviewing for us this week?
The family movie of the week, Minions, which is, of course, the movie based on the helpers in the Despicable Me movies.
There was a Despicable Me 1 and 2, and they were both huge movies, weren't they?
Each one of them, they built on one another, and we look to continue this trend at the box office. Whether or not it's a better movie, we'll talk about.
But okay.
Despicable Me, Steve Carell, the first one, very endearing. I liked it quite a bit. The second one, not as good, but sure, still passable.
Okay.
And we get to Minions. This movie focuses entirely on the minions that help grew and how they came to be. And it actually starts off with a fairly charming sequence in which we see minions have actually been here since the beginning of time. And they always help the most despicable character they can. So you see them helping a Tyrannosaurus Rex. But as you saw in Despicable Me, they're not always the best helpers. And so they are blamed for the partial extinction of dinosaurs, and then they help early humans, and of course early humans got eaten by lots of things, so then we follow these things that ate humans, and it's pretty good. It to use a Comic-Con term here, it retcons them. It sends them back into history. It implements this thing into history that never happened.
At any time do we hear these characters make this sound? Uh-oh.
Probably more than once.
Because it sounds like if you're incompetent at your job and you're only supposed to be doing evil things, things are going to go wrong and your character... Do they talk, the minions?
No, they don't. And I just want to lay out the plot what I can before we talk about this film.
Now, do you have to watch the first movie?
No.
Did anybody else see the
Never
first
seen,
movie?
No. Did you?
No.
There's
Dan?
Like subtle nods
no,
in
I
there.
Have not.
That, hey, you'll get, but if you want to hop on at the franchise at this point, go for it.
I didn't see the first two.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. The minions actually don't speak English. They speak what's called Minionese, which is a gibberish language comprised of some English words, but primarily French, Russian, Portuguese, Spanish, and just noise.
We've had more than one host on this station who spoke gibberish.
Yes.
I actually, here's an example of how the minions speak. So that's Minions.
Wow, that's annoying.
That's
like
nice.
The Playhouse.
How 90 minutes of this? How long is the movie?
Okay, thank you.
Pizza.
Oh, we just said it's annoying. You don't have to do it more.
Oh. Uh-oh.
All right.
One guy does all of the minions, which kudos to him, because there is a horde of minions in the first two movies. And when we open this up, we see all of the minions that have ever existed in one place, because I guess they're sort of immortal beings. We buy into that, sure. Wow, this is not a good movie.
One guy does the voices for all of them?
Yeah, he just has to record a couple, you know, a few minutes of different dialogue, and then you can
Here's how it goes, Dan. All right, take one. You ready? I got it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
All right, you ready? That's it.
Yeah.
But take two. I got another one for you.
Uh-oh.
How's that?
You know, it would be really cool for the older people in the crowd if he went,
Lucky filters.
Oh, man. The nice thing about being the only voice in a made-up language is, you don't have to remember your lines.
No. Just make stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, there's phrases in there, and if you speak any Spanish or anything, you'll hear phrases. They say the word banana because they love eating bananas because mm-hmm. they are also yellow. And if you don't know what these minions are, you've seen them. They're yellow pill-shaped, I don't know, weirdos. They're
beings.
Just beings that have one or two eyes. They come in both varieties. The loose plot of this film is these minions are trying to find someone despicable, and they, on TV, see an advertisement for Villain Con, a congregation of all the villains that takes place in Orlando in 1968. Here's the movie's lone funny joke. They show up in Orlando, and it's just a gas station in a swamp because Disneyland won't be built for another 3 years.
Aha!
Great joke.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
That's it. This is a horrible movie.
Wow.
This is unbelievably not good. It's very not good.
Not so even for kids?
Very no, not good.
Maybe 5 or 6 year olds, 7, 8. Beyond that, they're going to start to realize it's bad.
Wow. We have a lot of parents listening to this show right now who were, their only plan this weekend was taking the kids to see Minions.
Good luck. If they can watch a movie by themselves, you'd be better off sitting in the lobby waiting.
So halfway through, mom and dad are going to go, uh-oh.
It is. Yeah. The movie itself, I want to say, is 85 minutes long. Oh, it felt like 85 hours.
Wow.
It was bad.
Wow.
Bad from start to
I haven't seen you diss a movie like this in a while.
This is my least fun. This is really.
Did you take your daughter to this?
No.
Do you think she would like it?
She's 3, yeah. This is her target. This is the target demo for this movie because it's a lot of moving things on screen. There's not a really coherent plot. It has one in there, but you're not ever really focused on it, and it's inconsequential. They toss in a few references to things that happened, like Abbey Road, because so much of it takes place in England. You get a shot of that. And somehow they got the money for Beatles songs for this movie.
Wow.
3 of them, I believe.
They must have had, well, you know what? They took some of that Despicable Me money. Didn't it make almost $1 billion?
Yeah, Despicable Me 2 made almost $1 billion.
All right. Well, you can afford a few Beatles songs when you make $1 billion.
Yes. The main characters you're going to recognize are Sandra Bullock plays the main villainess, and she's fine. John Hamm plays her significant other, her husband slash sort of like Q-type inventor.
Hmm.
He's great.
Okay.
He does actual voice work. I didn't realize it was him until about halfway in the movie, and I'm like, wait, this might be John Hamm. He's very good. If nothing else, he will have a future in voice acting. Outside of this, it's very difficult to follow a plot when your main characters cannot speak.
Yeah, I'm just glad that John Hamm's going to have a future in voice acting because he's not going to make it based on his looks.
I know. Hey, some guys, you know. He's very good, though, and you're not going to realize it's him if you don't hear this.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know.
So you're saying this is not like Inside Out is a movie that parents can take their kids to. The kids like it. And then the parents actually like it because it's a good adult movie.
Yes, it is.
It really is. We've talked about it. That can be a date movie. Inside Out can.
Yeah.
This is a play date movie. Like, that's take another 5-year-old kid with you and with your kid and spare the other parent the pain. And you take both the kids.
Spare another parent the pain. That's the poster right there.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's just not. It loses all of that charm. The minions were fun. They were extra. If you're familiar with the Ice Age movies,
mm-hmm.
They've got a little saber-toothed rat called the Scrat.
Yeah.
He's very endearing in those movies.
But
he's
you don't make
fun.
A movie about the Scrat.
If you made a movie with the Scrat who can't talk,
yeah.
If your protagonist is unable to speak intelligible English,
mm-hmm.
you are going to struggle
mm-hmm.
because everyone else has to do the exposition. Yes, they can emote, but this isn't about that. The ending is bad, the middle is bad, and the beginning is bad.
Wow.
This is bad from. This is.
So you're saying it's bad?
This is a 1 out of 10. This is the worst movie
I've
seen.
Come right out and say it.
It's
wow.
bad. This is a 1 out of 10, and the only reason I give it 1 is because John Hamm does actual voice work in it that's good,
uh-huh.
and it has 2 what I think are pretty charming gags. But outside that, wow, just don't. I don't know. People are going to see it. This movie is critic proof. Every critic could say it's the worst thing ever, and kids have been buying their parents have been buying them toys, and they've been pestering their parents for 6 months to go see
this
movie.
I'm sure there's some fast food tie-in.
There is, actually. Interesting you mentioned that. McDonald's hopped on the bandwagon, and they have little minions that when you hit them, say they speak Minionese. Well, some parents, I think, are projecting onto these toys. I'm going to play you the toy that is actually at the center of some controversy.
This is the McDonald's toy.
It's the McDonald's Minion. It's one of, I don't know, pick, collect them all. There's 70, I don't know, however many there are, but this is one of them.
Whoa.
And so, right in there...
Why did you say whoa?
Because I heard something.
You heard something that's not there because you're listening for it. These Minions don't speak English. They think that the Minion in there said a bad word.
Yeah.
I would hate to break it to them. The Minions don't speak English.
They don't say any words.
They don't... They,
except
they,
banana.
Banana and, you know, you'll hear them toss Spanish or French words. Yes, that's what parents
heard. You
heard
the Minion say WTF?
Yes.
The Minion did not say that.
Play it again.
That's what it sounded like.
Turn it up. Sounds like it.
Yeah, I do hear it now. I would have never heard it unless you...
I completely missed it the first time.
No kid that gets a Happy Meal would hear that, ever. This is one of these times parents need to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
We all played cops and robbers and shot guns at one another. This is a toy, and the kids are thinking it says bottle, I mean, just nonsense.
Yeah.
We have
have to worry about your child repeating these words because they're going to choke on the pieces and die anyway.
Exactly. So, Minions.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm guessing they're tiny enough that some kids are going to put it in their mouth, right?
Well,
I don't know.
They're sort of toddler size, but they range in sizes.
The Minions are toddler size at McDonald's?
Oh, no, they're chicken nugget size, maybe a little bigger. Yeah, they could choke on it, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't let your kids eat Minion toys, parents.
What'd the Minion say? Choke on it? Is that what you said?
He said, what the choke? Yeah. What the choke?
We'll get a choke on it.
Why don't you choke on it? Hey.
Wow. So Minions, not a good movie, and it's really unfortunate because Inside Out is such a good family movie, animated movie, that is original. This is a cash grab. This is saying, we've made a lot of money building up these Minions. Let's make a whole movie about them. Kids are going to love it. It's not good, and it's just sad because Inside Out is going to suffer sort of some losses.
This is like making a Toy Story spinoff about the characters in the Claw Machine.
Ooh, the Claw.
Oh,
those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're clever and they're funny and they're part of each of the movies, but you don't make a whole movie about them.
Yes.
All right.
No.
Now, do all of them wear glasses?
Some of them do, some of them don't. That's the variety that the Minions are.
Wow.
They all wear overalls.
Oh, great.
And fur coats.
What the coat? All right. Well, Minions, not too popular, but going to do a huge amount of money this weekend.
It's going to do more than $100 million. I know.
It's going to open for more than Inside Out.
Yes.
Wrong.
It's sad.
Wow.
Just wrong. All right. The movie I have to review for you this week is called Selfless, which if you see the title in print, for some reason, there's a slash in the middle of it. So it's self/less. There's no reason for that slash to be in there. Here's the plot of the movie. Ben Kingsley plays a character named Damien, who's an ultra-rich, arrogant real estate developer. Doesn't remind me of anybody in particular, although he lives in an apartment that is gold-laden at every turn. Gold faucets, gold doorknobs, gold on the windows, gold on the door, on the walls and on the ceiling. Again, not representing any actual human being. Right. He knows, as the movie opens, that he has a terminal disease. I don't know if it's cancer, but it's a terminal disease, and he's not doing well. And he has all this money, but the thing that he can't do is fight off death. But maybe he can. He hears about a British scientist who, for a huge amount of money, can take everything that's in Damien's brain and put it into a new body. A body that when he goes to visit this British doctor, he is told, we have been genetically breeding these bodies in our laboratory here, specifically so that they are in great shape, so that people like you, of great wealth, can afford to have your consciousness and everything you know transferred in there. So you'll still be yourself, but instead of having a body riddled with a terminal disease, you'll be in a healthy, younger man's body.
Okay.
And so he coughs up the money and gets in the machine, and his consciousness and everything he knows is transferred into the body of Ryan Reynolds.
That's an upgrade.
That is an upgrade, from Ben Kingsley's broken-down terminal body to from Ryan
Gandhi.
Reynolds.
From Gandhi to Ryan Reynolds.
Is this a true story?
Don't be dissing this movie. It has my co-star, Ryan Reynolds, in
okay.
it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
He's in the movie Mississippi Grind, which I still don't know the release date for, but probably September. But back to this. You can't wait, so I stop talking.
No.
I understand, Dan. Unfortunately, the character who was named Damien but is now known as Edward in this new body, he starts having memories of the guy whose body he's now living in. And the doctor has given him these red pills. Keep taking these pills, and you'll eventually lose whatever was there before in that body. And he goes, what do you mean what was in there before? This was supposed to be something you grew in your laboratory. Well, it turns out, of course, that it wasn't something that was grown in the laboratory. It was somebody who was a person before, and this is a guy who had been a veteran of the Iraq or Afghanistan war and had had a wife and a kid and now is having flashbacks. Ben Kingsley inside Ryan Reynolds' body is having these flashbacks of parts of the Ryan Reynolds character's life, which he goes and investigates, and he finds out about the wife and the kid and becomes curious about them. But the British scientist who has this whole idea of transferring you into a younger body doesn't want the outside world to know about such a thing, and there can't be a cross between the former life and the current life. And so he has bodyguards and thugs who go out and try to clean this up and separate the people and make sure that Ben Kingsley / Ryan Reynolds doesn't get into that world. But of course he does. And at that point, it turns into more of an action movie, and Ryan Reynolds' character, having been at war in some sort of special forces operation, he knows how to fight off bad guys like every hero in an action movie does. No matter which side you attack him from, he's taking you down and taking your gun, and he's got you. Now, it's at that point where the movie turns a little bit sour. But I did like the science fiction aspect of it up until that point. Victor Garber, who I've always liked, is also in this movie as Damien's number two guy, who you think is only there at the beginning of the movie, but has a role to play in the development of the plot later on. As I said, it gets a little bit bogged down towards the end in some action movie cliches and turns into kind of a standard action movie, and the science fiction part of it gets pushed aside a little bit. But I liked some of the performances in here. I've always liked Ben Kingsley. I like Ryan Reynolds. I wish he would find a better movie to be in, like, I don't know, Mississippi Grind or something. But here's a guy who's made how many movies? And by the way, already made a body switch movie.
Yes.
Did you ever see The Change Up from about 4 years ago?
Sadly, I did see The Change Up.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
That's with him and Jason Bateman. The idea of that movie is that they switch bodies when they both urinate in a public fountain.
They're buddies, though.
Oh, kind of like the...
Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's funny you should mention that, because I went back and I made a list of body switch movies. You got The Change Up. You got Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. At a time that Lindsay Lohan was a good actress and not a drug-riddled
Do we count Big
problem.
On that list?
Absolutely, okay. Big goes on there.
Okay, just making certain.
I mean, you start as the young Josh Baskin, and he grows up into the older Josh Baskin as Tom Hanks.
What about...
13 going on 30.
Yes, with Jennifer Garner.
18 again.
18 again with George Burns.
Hot Chick.
What's the one with... is it 17 again or whatever? The one with...
Oh, you're thinking the Matthew Perry.
Yes, Matthew Perry. And,
why can't I think of that?
Is it? I think it is seven. It's
something.
I can't think of the title. How about Vice Versa with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage?
Oh my goodness!
Which had the bad luck of coming out at the same time as Big.
Yes.
Vice Versa, crappy movie. Big, great movie.
Yes.
What about Face Off? Did you put that down?
No, but
that would work. Yeah.
That would go on the list. The one that I think is the best of all of these, I mean, Big is a great movie, but do you remember a movie called Heaven Can Wait?
Yes.
Yes.
Warren Beatty. Listen to the cast. I looked this up today. because I like this movie very much. Listen to the people who are in this. Warren Beatty, Julie Christie, Charles Grodin, Buck Henry, Diane Cannon, James Mason, Jack Warden, Vincent Gardenia.
And he played for the Rams.
That's right, the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a really, really good movie.
There's
yeah.
a Chris Rock one, Down to Earth. Similar thing. He's a rich white guy who dies and comes back into Chris Rock's body.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Oh, wow. All these movies, are they better than Selfless or Selfless in the
middle
of the pack?
I don't think you could say Vice Versa is better than anything or 18 Again or even the Change Up. I would say that of all the Ryan Reynolds body switch movies, this is the best one. But I didn't hate the movie. I'm not going to give it a bad, bad, bad review like you did. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 because, again, it gets a lot of things right and just falls into a little bit of trouble in the third act when it really just becomes a standard action, cliche-ridden movie.
It reminds me of The Island. Do you remember that from several years ago? I'm going to forget his name. Charming British actor, and that doesn't help.
Bob Denver.
Scarlett Johansson stars in it.
That's the one where they're harvesting bodies.
They're harvesting the body. Yeah. They're all clones who are living on this island.
Not really the same as a body switch movie.
No, but it just reminded me how it was like, oh, there's a sci-fi element, and then they decided to make an action movie.
Yeah, well, this one's called Selfless, with the slash in the middle for no reason. I give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
So, and you give Minions a 1 out of 10.
Third movie coming out this week is The Gallows. It's another one of these Blumhouse productions. And you
what
know,
does that mean?
That's the guy who makes all of the dirt cheap horror movies.
Is it paranormal. A found footage movie?
Cheap.
Oh, yeah. This movie, I think, cost about $1 million to make, and last night it made $900,000. So it's all gravy this weekend.
Wow. That movie
why they keep making them.
That movie with Matthew Perry and Zac Efron is 17 Again.
17.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. A couple of other things I wanted to mention to you here. You will never believe what they're turning into a Broadway musical. We know it from the movies, and now a producer is going to work on making it a Broadway musical. Listen to the music, and you'll know immediately. The iconic James Bond guitar lick and music. They're going to do a James Bond musical on Broadway. Now, I've heard of some bad ideas for Broadway shows. How are you going to do a Bond movie, which always features exotic locations and amazing gadgets?
And action.
And action and chases and all that.
Hey, cars.
On a Broadway stage. Imagine you go to the bus and truck version of this when it comes to the Fox.
I want it shaken, not stirred.
See two stagehands running out with a 1D Aston Martin.
Yes, you'll have to imagine the car chase. Well, no, you don't. You know what? We have a projection of that.
Yeah.
It's just someone sitting in a chair with a cardboard wheel, leaning back and forth violently.
They say that the musical will be original, not based on one of the movies or one of the original Bond stories. It will introduce a brand new female character for 007 to tangle with. I wonder what happens there. And the play will also include several existing Bond villains. So I guess Goldfinger shows up on stage and you get to sing the Shirley Bassey song. I don't know. And then before we went on the air today, Colin and I were talking about this Jerry Seinfeld web series that's just finished. I guess it's third season, fourth maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
By season, it's really only a half a dozen in the spring and a half a dozen in the fall. So he's been doing it for a couple of years now. It's called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
I just binge-watched 5 of them in the last 2 nights.
So I know this is season 6.
Catching up.
Season 6,
yeah.
Okay.
There's 6 episodes, I think, this season so far.
I know the new one that just came out yesterday is Jerry Seinfeld and Stephen Colbert. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure it'll be good. All the others are great.
Yes.
Aren't they?
It's very entertaining.
And they keep getting better every season. And we were talking about this. I would put this in a half-hour format, exactly what he does, however long he wants to make it, because they're 12 minutes or 18
Well, it doesn't have to be a
half-hour
format. Put it on HBO or Showtime.
And it's the perfect length, too. You can tell they get rid of all the filler and stuff and just get the funniest parts of...
Because it's Jerry Seinfeld and a comedian, and they...
Maybe a half a day they spend together, would you say?
Yeah, it certainly would be
four hours, five hours.
So they go for coffee, they walk around neighborhoods, they tell stories, they drive around in the car, they talk about the car, they joke back and forth. And you're right, they cut out all the unnecessary military stuff, and he gets it down to sometimes 16 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes. He did a two-parter with Jimmy Fallon.
And that was
great.
Yeah, the Trevor Noah one, the new host of The Daily Show, was the longest one, I think. It was 21 minutes, I think.
That was last week's.
That episode is how that's the whole point of apartheid, Jerry.
It's so well done. But you were telling me, the reason I bring it up is because you were telling me off the air, and I want you to explain this on the air, that the Seinfeld project, I only watch it on the website. You go to your browser and you type in comediansandcarsgettingcoffee.com, and the latest episode and all the previous episodes are available right there on that page. But you were telling me he's got to deal with this Sony thing called Crackle.
Exactly. If you go to crackle.com, or if you have a Chromecast or an Apple TV, or you're using a gaming device to stream this to your TV, you likely are going to have issues streaming it directly from a web page. So go to Crackle or download the app. And this is an app that he makes it for Crackle. That's actually, so you'll notice at the beginning and end of everything, there's a little scene where the car drives by and it says Crackle.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and they did the couple short promos where Michael Richards was supposed to be the Crackle president.
Right.
Having meetings with Jerry.
Those
about
sucked.
Show. Yes, they weren't very good.
But Crackle has other television shows. It has movies. They rotate out, but they're free. You just have to watch some ads in there. So if you don't feel like, it's always worthwhile to check it out, but I don't understand the business of this because I know Jerry Seinfeld production company handles the production costs.
And got a sponsor, a car company that sponsors it, and the commercials for that, he and his people actually put together and they embed at the beginning and end of the show, and sometimes they actually have a very funny, what's that car over there? Oh, that's our product placement.
Well, he did that. They drove through an Acura lot on one of them. He just goes, product placement.
Yeah. They did another one, I think, in the second season where he pulls into a parking space and the comedian says, what are the chances you'd find a parking space here? Well, we had it set up that way because this is our product placement. That's a Honda right there, an Acura or whatever it was right in front of him. So they're very clever about doing that, but he makes his money that way. How does Crackle make money from this?
I have no idea, but I'll tell you is I've started using Crackle to watch other shows that I missed or just want to go back and watch an episode or two of and don't want to have to. They're not on Netflix or Hulu or any of these things.
Are you talking about other original content or what is it?
They do a few original shows. And I can't remember the name of one, but I believe they have one about a jury being like a hung jury, what it's like inside there. It's sort of like a drama that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's shows and movies that were out at some point. They used to be they get rights to them for a certain amount of time and you can go watch them. And typically they're not going to have the biggest shows on there, but they're sort of quirky shows that you may want to take a look at. So I've started using it and I have to watch ads. So I guess that's their hope. I don't know. But either way, this has to be one of the most interesting deals in show business because we've got Jerry Seinfeld making a product for one outlet, essentially, Crackle, and then his own website.
Yeah, but it's also available on YouTube. Why would I mean, I didn't even know there was a Crackle.
I don't get it.
Why would I ever go to Crackle?
Only go to his website.
Yeah.
And cars get
maybe they just give it to him for free.
I just know Snap and Pop.
Just to have association with Jerry Seinfeld, maybe. They just said, hey, we'll put your thing up there for free.
Yeah, I don't understand, but it's gotten me using other things in Crackle, and that's the easiest way to stream from a device to a TV on like Chromecast.
While we're talking about streaming, one last story I've got to mention here. In the city of Chicago, if you use Netflix or any other streaming service, you now have to pay a 9% tax on everything that you buy, not just Netflix, but Spotify, Hulu, Apple Music, etc. Chicago is going through a fiscal problem very much like every other city, including ours, all around the country. And so they have put in a 9% tax, saying that it fits under their entertainment tax. So companies like Netflix have to include the tax in the subscription price and collect an additional 9% for people who live in Chicago. Not in the suburbs, not in the rest of Illinois, but in Chicago. Now, here's my question. Netflix is not in Chicago.
No.
Netflix, being in the cloud, is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that when you get your Netflix bill, there's another 9% tacked on there for that?
That would be my guess as to how it works.
But aren't you already paying taxes to your internet service provider?
Yes.
So this is, you're taxing a service that you're already taxing, double or triple taxing it this way to get more money.
Yes.
That's a ripoff.
It seems to be. Netflix should get the lawyers that Amazon hired when they beat back all these attempts to start taxing Amazon purchases because they managed to say no to that.
Now, the city says it's only going to cost people about 81 cents a month, less than $10 a year. That's not the point. The point is it's going to come to $12 million a year for the city of Chicago, which they want in their coffers. But that's $12 million you're making people pay that they didn't pay before. That's horrible. St. Louis, don't get any ideas.
No. I just have two quick stories. J.K. Simmons, who won an Oscar for his role in Whiplash, which is great. He is teaming again with that director, Damien Chazelle, is it? Or is it
Chazelle?
Chazelle, for a movie called La La Land. It's the behind-the-scenes story of a musical. Ryan Gosling plays a jazz drummer. Emma Stone plays a leading lady in this, and it's their romance. And, man, I just love to see that they're teaming up again.
Yep.
Every movie and television show, when I give you my number, I say, oh, it's 555-2135. Except, this is really interesting. Universal Studios owns the phone number 212-664-7665. It has appeared in movies, definitely maybe, The Adjustment Bureau, Scott Pilgrim and the World, and Munich, because they don't want to give out a 555 number. So they own a number, and if you call it, it just goes to, this number's not in service.
Okay, well, I'll tell you a little secret here.
Yes.
30 years ago, I worked for NBC in New York at a radio station that was in 30 Rock. 212-664 is the prefix for that building.
There you go.
So Universal, which is now part of NBC Universal, they're using a phone number of some phone that's probably not hooked up to anything in that building. It's a number they already owned.
Yes.
But kudos to them for not going the old 555 route.
It's very nice. I think when I called, it actually said Paul Harris will be with
us. No, they've erased all knowledge of me.
There you go.
In fact, not long after I left there, they got out of the radio business. NBC was not in the radio business much past the mid-80s when I was there. By the way, if you want to call us, it's 867-5309. Oh, no, that's Jenny's number.
Yeah,
I'm
Jenny.
Sorry. Colin Jeffrey's segment every week is brought to you by Orrick, O-R-E-C-K, all locally owned and operated, great vacuum cleaners and more at Orrick, all throughout the St. Louis area. This is KTRS.